حرکت بیداری تا قلب اروپا خواهد رفت. اون روزی پیش خواهد آمد که همین ملت‌های اروپایی علیه سیاستمداران و زمامداران و قدرتمندانی که اونها رو یکسره تسلیم سیاست‌های فرهنگی و اقتصادی آمریکا و صهیونیست کردن قیام خواهند کرد.
Activists from across the globe have called on people to rise up to claim their rights. Organizers say there will be protests in almost 80 countries, mostly in European cities.
Hi, I'm Kaveh Tahwahi. Welcome to Reality Check. We'll also cover the death of Muammar Gaddafi and his sons and what it means for Libya. Also coming up, the ever-increasing unauthorized U.S. drone attacks. International media coverage of the hard-to-believe U.S. accusation of assassination plot against Iran.
People that would benefit from that would be the Israelis and the Saudis.
And pomegranates like you've never seen before. Let's first begin with a flashback to May 2011. Here's Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
Earlier this year, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution predicted that the winds of change blowing in the revolutionary nations will ultimately reach Europe and the U.S.
این حرکت بیداری تا قلب اروپا خواهد رفت. اون روزی پیش خواهد آمد که همین ملت‌های اروپایی علیه سیاستمداران و زمامداران و قدرتمندانی که اونها رو یکسره تسلیم سیاست‌های فرهنگی و اقتصادی آمریکا و صهیونیست کردن قیام خواهند کرد.
And sure enough, this past Saturday, October 15th, inspired by Occupy Wall Street protests in New York, the movement went global.
Activists from across the globe have called on people to rise up to claim their rights. Organizers say there will be protests in almost 80 countries, mostly in European cities. The largest demonstration is planned in London. Organizers have called on protesters to gather outside St. Paul's Cathedral by midday.
Inspired by the Middle East uprisings and the Occupy Wall Street protest, thousands of people descended on the square outside one of London's most famous landmarks, St. Paul's Cathedral. Their message was simple: the rich, warmongering elite minority have caused the global financial crisis. Eventually, some frustrated protesters opted for more direct action by pouring onto the nearby road, thus bringing all traffic to a halt. The police then brought in reinforcements and kettled or surrounded the protest.
I hate the British government, I hate the American government, and I hate the actions of the Israeli government building another wall. But this is about money, this is about power. I'm here because there's a solidarity with the Occupy Wall Street and the Occupy movement that's spreading around the world. We also hate the fact that we live in a world where 1 billion people wake up hungry every day, where people are like living as slaves all over the third world due to the actions of the Western world. So we're sick of the banking bailouts, we're sick that public services are being cut, and people are getting treated like sheep.
Organizers of the Occupy Wall Street movement have insistently maintained the nonviolent nature of their protests. However, the internet has been inundated with shocking amateur footage of heavy-handed police action. The New York Police Department has reportedly received millions of dollars to protect Wall Street. In the first 2 weeks of the Occupy Wall Street movement alone, New York police arrested more than 1,000 people.
No!
thousands of Italians protested against corporate greed and embattled Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi's economic policies.
Tens of thousands converged in Barcelona's Centre Plaza Catalunya as part of the worldwide protests. Initially inspired by the Tunisian and Arab uprisings, the Spanish indignados led the way in Europe.
Spain's M15 movement has gone beyond borders, and today's rally represents a global day of action, linking protests in over 700 cities in 80 countries with a united message that ordinary people will not pay for the debts.
I mean, don't officials see how big a movement this is when it has gone global at the scale that it has?
Now you have a kleptocracy. There's no rule of law on Wall Street. It's very easy to steal money. I mean, I was working on Wall Street as for Payne Weber was the name of the firm, and I worked also at Oppenheimer, and we stole money every day, and we paid off the compliance manager who worked in the office every day. We bribed the options trader on the desk every single day, but we were only stealing millions. When you hear the stories today about stealing hundreds of billions every day, high-frequency trading by Goldman Sachs, they steal $100 million every single day. It's totally been documented. They don't deny it. Lloyd Blankfein says, yes, we do steal this money, but we're doing God's work. He's a market fundamentalist. He believes in killing himself and others to make money. You know, we need our Islamic and Arab brothers to help us with this. You know, what about declaring some fatwas on these guys? Forget about Salman Rushdie. What about Jamie Dimon or Lloyd Blankfein? Give us some support. We're desperate over here. These guys are killing us. They're market fundamentalists and terrorists, and we're dying. Maybe you can help us. Let's get rid of them.
So does Max have a point about these banks and financial institutions? Let's do a fact check. In the U.S., the nation's six largest financial institutions now have assets worth more than $9.4 trillion. That's 65% of U.S.'s GDP, and three of the four largest of those corporations have actually grown in size since they were bailed out 2 years ago with U.S. taxpayers' money.
The largest U.S. home lender, Wells Fargo, has said its third quarter profit rose 21% to a record $4 billion. Citigroup, the third biggest U.S. bank, another Wall Street firm, says its net income for the third quarter of 2011 increased by 74% to nearly $3.8 billion. The bank posted its seventh profitable quarter in a row after losing a total of $29 billion for 2008 and 2009 when it was bailed out. J.P. Morgan Chase, the second biggest bank, reported net income of $4.2 billion last week, including the accounting benefit. Bank of America, the biggest U.S. bank, is expected to report soon a profit of $2.7 billion. The Obama administration's multi-trillion dollar bailout program seems to have saved those too big to fail on the Wall Street. But how about the too small to save 99% living on the mainstream?
Arab revolutions. Casualty number three occurred this past week, but unlike Egypt's Hosni Mubarak and Tunisia's Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, Muammar Gaddafi was not so lucky. Time for a look at the developments in Yemen, Jordan, and Bahrain. First, Yemen. The embattled ruler, Ali Abdullah Saleh, made a promise on Monday the week before that he would step down. But that never happened, like his other false flags. As of this day, Friday, which is 12 days later, he has remained in Yemen, which was of no surprise to Yemenis.
We say yes to this latest pledge, but we are now used to his speeches. I think that he said he will step down in days in his speech, so he can reorganize himself.
Ali Abdullah Saleh's speech is lies. He wanted to preoccupy the Yemeni people and the world with his useless speech. His speech was a lie to the Yemeni nation and the world as a whole. I believe he will not hand over power.
But what was in store for Yemenis was another brutal attack by Saleh's forces on a few occasions, which in one instance left nearly 24 people dead, with many to have sustained injuries.
For the second consecutive day, regime's forces have continued its crackdown on protesters. A number of people were killed and dozens of others injured when forces loyal to Saleh opened fire and tear gas on a crowd of protesters.
Bahrain activists released new footage of ongoing crackdown by Saudi-backed forces. This included attacks on women protesters. Al-Wafaq, the main opposition group, said the women who were detained in a mall recently have been tortured by forces loyal to the ruling Al-Khalifa family. Meanwhile, on the other side of the Persian Gulf in the UK, demonstrators obstructed a Bahrain trade event over Manama's brutal crackdown on anti-regime protests.
Governments across the world are coming under increasing pressure to curb their trade ties with Bahrain following its crackdown on protesters. In solidarity with the Bahraini people, dozens of Britons have obstructed a Bahrain trade event in their country. Demonstrators chanted slogans and urged the Manchester Chamber of Commerce not to support the Al-Khalifa regime. And several U.S. lawmakers have also appealed to President Barack Obama to postpone a $53 million arms sale to the regime in Manama.
In news from Jordan, as Prime Minister Maruf Bakhit resigned for failing to implement reforms, a further sign of instability there. Jordanians are not happy with a government plagued by corruption and a king who has failed to listen to their demands. Jordanians have been holding demonstrations since January, even before the Tunisian revolution occurred.
The king in Jordan is an absolute ruler, a dictator that cannot be challenged or even criticized. And his critics are thrown in jail or intimidated by these thugs that we have seen used in Egypt and other countries like Bahrain.
Pro-reform Jordanians have been attacked again, this time near the village of Salhoub. Witnesses say the attackers hurled stones and fired live shots to disperse the people attending an anti-graft conference. Former Prime Minister Ahmed Obeidah, who is also the head of the National Reform Front, has accused the authorities of being behind the violence.
أوجه إلى الملك عبد الله الثاني نداء صريح أن لا تتدخل بالعشائر وتلعب في ورقة العشائر ورقة العشائر ورقة خطيرة إن دخلت فيها ما بنطلع حلوية ما رح تخرج معنا لا أنت ولا المجموعة اللي معك حذاري حذاري أنت
The U.S. assassination allegation against Iran has been deemed as a fake and ridiculous scenario. Iran's president said this was a U.S. scenario meant to put a rift between Iran and its Arab neighbors, in particular Saudi Arabia.
If the U.S. administration is under the impression that by doing this it can create a conflict between us and Saudi Arabia, then I have to say that the U.S. administration is sorely mistaken. The truth will be revealed ultimately, and there will be no problem for us at that time.
and the credibility of the story kept being questioned last week by Western media, from their news anchors to their analysts.
I just found out today that they used to call him Jack because he drank a lot. He used to drink Jack. So
wow, that's okay. What was your impression of what he was like? I mean, was he a hard worker? Was he the kind of person who could have pulled off the plot that we're all hearing about?
No.
What we've seen unfold makes no sense in terms of Iran's national security strategy. There's no benefit, there's no payoff from them pursuing this kind of hit against Al-Jubeir, and it runs contrary to their entire national security strategies.
People that would benefit from that would be the Israelis and the Saudis. And I think if I was looking at a counterintelligence operation to decide where this information came from, I'd be very interested to see if I could find an Israeli hand or a Saudi hand. Because in the long run, Judge, both Israel and Saudi Arabia are much more dangerous enemies to the United States than the Iranians are.
Iran's leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, made many public appearances last week during his 9-day tour of the Kermanshah province, in which he strongly dismissed U.S. attempts to isolate Iran, among other issues.
میگن میخواهیم ایران رو منزوی کنیم، خودشون منزوی شدن. امروز هیچ دولتی در دنیا در میان ملت‌ها به قدر آمریکا منفور نیست. آمریکا امروز منفورترین دولت‌ها و رژیم‌ها در چشم ملت‌های منطقه. مسئولین آمریکایی را برحذر می‌داریم از اینکه حرکت ناشایستی و شیطانی از اونها چه در زمینه‌های سیاسی چه در زمینه‌های امنیتی سر بزنه. بدانن جمهوری اسلامی زنده است، بیداره. اونها اگر چنانچه پشت به مردم خودشون دارن، ما رو به مردم خودمون داریم. اونها اگر چنانچه منفور مردم خودشون هستن، منفور اکثریتشون هستن، که این جور قضیه در جمهوری اسلامی به عکس قضیه، این اجتماعات عظیم مردم امروز و در همه موارد دیگر نشان دهنده عزم راسخ مردم است. ما همه در صحنه هستیم، همه جزو ملتیم.
So why is Iran's leader so against the US and their policies in his views?
The U.S. attacks inside Afghanistan have taken and continue to take the lives of hundreds of civilians annually. The non-UN sanctioned and unilateral U.S. drone attacks overseas, especially in Pakistan, Yemen and Somalia, have killed thousands of civilians. Tehran accuses Washington, Tel Aviv and Riyadh of backing and financing anti-Iran terrorist groups and organizations, which have killed thousands of Iranian civilians and hundreds of government officials and security forces. But neither the UN chief nor the UN Security Council has taken any serious action to put an end to the killing of civilians at the hands of the US and NATO forces in these countries. Killing civilians in other countries is justified under the pretext of war on terror for the UN chief and most members of the UN Security Council. Now, a merely unproven, suspicious allegation by the US, which is ironically backed only by its regional and European allies, and for which no evidence has been presented, is given credit and validity, expecting its alleged perpetrators to be punished.
Well, one of the reasons cited in that fact check was US drones, which seem to have no limit on where they will attack, especially if their targets also happen to be Muslim countries.
an American drone buzzing skyward at a U.S. base abroad. Originally, the unmanned planes were intended for surveillance missions. Now they have turned into weapons to kill. The U.S. has launched many attacks against other countries using the Predator drones, as they have come to be known. The latest target, Somalia. Fresh U.S. drone strikes in the African nation have left scores of people dead and scores more injured. Washington has expanded the attacks by the pilotless aircraft since President Barack Obama took office in 2009. The largest number of attacks have happened in Pakistan, where hundreds of lives have been lost in American drone strikes during Obama's presidency.
While over 40 states already have this so-called drone technology, the United States is the dominant user of drones to kill. Because this program remains shrouded in official secrecy, the international community does not know when and where the CIA is authorized to kill, and what follow-up there is when civilians are illegally killed.
Well, it's been a very depressing surprise to see how President Obama has let himself be ruled by the Pentagon and by the CIA. You know, if you look at the drones, prescinding from or just not considering the moral considerations or the legal considerations, both of which we should be considering, but let's just look at, well, people say, are they accurate? And I say, well, these drones were first devised to take pictures, to take videos, so that we could know what was going on over a certain area over a protected period of time. And then some generals and some arms manufacturers said, you know, I think we can put missiles on these things.
I guarantee the following clip will surely make your taste buds go crazy. Well, in Iran, they call it the heavenly fruit. I'm talking about pomegranates. And here in the capital, Tehran, last week, its arrival was celebrated, as covered by Press TV's own Amir Mehdi Kazemi.
This is not a rock concert. It is a celebration for the arrival of Iran's most popular fruit. In Iran, pomegranates become a part of every joyful event as soon as they appear in fruit stores in early fall. For five consecutive years, the Culture and Art Organization of Tehran's municipality has been launching an event dedicated to this attractive gift of nature.
This is an Iranian pomegranate. Like other gifts of nature, it has its own applications, but this one is an exception. It could also be used as an excuse to gather a group of people in one spot to create some happy moments.
The pomegranate festival is organized by Tehran's Ishraq House of Culture. This year, the event is titled Pomegranate, the Ruby from Paradise. During the festival, pomegranate producers from 17 provinces have the chance to offer a variety of pomegranates and souvenirs related to their province. But this is just a part of this year's program. The world's biggest pomegranate cake, weighing 800 kilograms, was showcased in the opening ceremony. Pomegranate was the symbol of fertility in ancient Persian culture. It is still the main base for luxury dishes in Iran. Iran is known as the largest producer of pomegranate in the world. Iranian's heavenly fruit continues to win the hearts of its lovers as the pomegranate festival attracts crowds for a period of 10 days.
Well, that about covers it for this edition of the program. Please keep your emails coming to realitycheck@presstv.ir. And for the ending, Press TV would like to thank all the viewers who sent their support when the news broke out that Ofcom, UK's media regulator, was considering taking Press TV off the Sky platform, which it has not done so as of yet. And to clarify matters, Press TV is not taken off the air, rather just off UK's Sky platform, which means you can watch us through a satellite dish or online. The following are some of the views as sent by you, the viewer. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
The removal of Press TV from our viewing is an affront to the rights of those living in a supposedly free society.
I think it's grossly unfair that an independent broadcaster should be banned from a country without just cause. I would understand if your station had promoted racial hatred or intolerance, it would appear to the layman to be a way of censorship that reeks of Victorian attitudes of Big Brother.
As a news channel for the West, Africa and the Middle East, it's invaluable, as it's where minds meet and discourse between people in many different countries take place. How many African voices and people from the UAE do you hear make their opinions known on Sky or Fox?
American online journalist Patrick Henningsen says,
"The US and Britain, who built their empires on the powerful illusion of media, simply cannot accept that a country like Iran could win over English-speaking audiences, doing a better job reporting the news than the likes of CNN or the BBC. Worse yet, they cannot accept anything other than an anti-Iranian perspective portrayed through the TV lens."
Thank you.